the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower. This week's show focuses on coming changes to Medicare, changes that will go into effect next year. And many of you are already aware that Medicare enrollment begins this month. It's often referred to as the annual election period. It runs from October 15th to December 7th of this year. Now, if you're retired and not covered for medical, you must enroll unless you're still working and are covered by a medical plan with your employer. Premiums and deductibles are going up, and certain Medigap insurance plans will no longer be available for new enrollees next year. So, Jim, we've got quite a few things to cover on this episode today.
Yeah, as always, around this time of the year, this is the Medicare enrollment period from October to first week in December. But also, Chris, this is the time of the year they roll out any changes that are being made to Medicare, and also they announce the increases to Social Security based on inflation. So let's go through a list of some of the changes that are going to go into effect next year. Let's begin for most listeners that are paying for Medicare Part B. That's the premium that you pay because Part A is free. Well, it's not free. You paid for it, but you don't pay a premium. Next year, Medicare Part Premium B goes to $144.30 a month. That's about an $8 increase. The deductible also goes up from $185 to $197. Keep that figure in mind because I want to come back to it later on when we talk about the plans that are no longer going to be available next year. And speaking of that, Medigap plans C and F will no longer be available next year. Also, and this is some good news for those of you in the upper income brackets, the income brackets for upper income Americans for parts B and D will be inflation adjusted for the first time. So not a big deal, but the lower bracket will go from $85,000 to $87,000, which will keep you in that lower bracket, which will be $144.30 a month next year. The Part D donut hole will no longer exist, but the standard plan's maximum deductible will increase to $435, and catastrophic coverage will increase to $6,350. So, and one final thing, brace yourself, folks. You're going to want to go out and maybe go have dinner at Taco Bell. the Social Security COLA for 2020 is 1.6%, which will increase the average retiree's income about $23 a month. And that's going to be more than enough to cover the roughly $8 or $9 increase in Medicare Part B premiums. So you can see there, Chris, they're mixing things up around. They're raising the deductibles. They're raising the premiums. I can remember a couple of years ago when we were doing this show, the Medicare premiums were like $119. Now they're going to be $144. So once again, this just goes to show you, as a retiree, you're going to be experiencing some form of medical inflation.
Yeah, it looks like costs are going up, but the increase in Social Security benefits, it looks like it should be more than enough to cover the increased costs of medical coverage. But they're gradually changing coverage. They're increasing premiums and deductibles. It also looks like they're phasing out some of the favorable Medigap plans.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the biggest change for 2020. New enrollees, those of you enrolling now, will no longer be able to pick Plan F, which is probably the most popular supplemental plan. And the reason, it covers the cost that Medicare doesn't pay. The plan is so popular, according to the government, 60% of the 14 million people who have Medicare have Plan F. That's the Medigap insurance, the part most people that have Medicare only covers about 60% of your medical expenses. So you have to have a supplemental insurance policy, unless maybe you're Larry lots of bucks and can cover those costs yourself. So most people will pick Plan F because it covers just about everything. It's often referred to as the first dollar coverage because people don't have to worry about, for example, the moment they walk into a doctor's office, hospital, or they use a lab. It's probably the most expensive of the Medigap plans because Well, as you guessed it, there are no deductibles. There are no copays. You walk into a doctor's office, you don't have to write a check, don't have to give them a $20 bill. It's all covered. And there are no approvals necessary if, let's say, for example, you want to go see a specialist. You're saying, well, you know, my regular doctor, there's something that I'm not quite sure of. I'd like to see a specialist. Well, you don't need approvals to do that. This no-hassle plan prompted probably the change for 2020. The supplemental coverage is sold by private insurers, but the federal government sets the rules because the insurance kicks in whenever Medicare leaves off. Basically, the government is trying to prevent what they call overutilization. It's like anything else, Chris. If you can afford or you can find a policy basically that covers all your expenses or the gaps that are often left in what Medicare doesn't cover, that's why people gravitate towards those plans, because as we age, we're likely to get sicker, more added cost, whether it's prescriptions, procedures, operations. And so having insurance coverage between Medicare and Medigap that covers all those expenses, it's one reason this plan is so popular. But unfortunately, in 2020, you will no longer be able to get it. Now, let me point out, if you have Plan F now, and we'll talk about the importance of this in just a moment, if you have Plan F now, you'll continue to keep it.
What do you suppose makes this plan so popular, Jim? Is it because it covers everything?
Absolutely. I mean, you take a look at people in the private sector that have a company insurance plan. There's usually a high deductible as companies try to keep their costs to a minimum. There are co-pays that you have to pay. If you have drug prescriptions, they don't cover everything. So the Plan F basically covers everything. So that's why it's referred to as the Cadillac of plans, because it covers just about everything that Medicare doesn't. But it is the most expensive of all the plans. Now, it will be replaced by the second most popular plan, which is Plan G. But also, remember, Plan G doesn't cover Part B deductible, which is why Plan F has become so popular. Now, I want to emphasize something that is important when you're enrolling into Medicare and you're choosing Medigap insurance. Now, if you are a new enrollee, you are enrolling into Medicare now for the first time, you can get into any one of the supplemental plans regardless of your health. And for whatever reason, these plans are all labeled as letters. There's Plan A all the way to M and N. And after that, however, this is the important part. If you grow dissatisfied and want more extensive coverage, let's say, for example, you enroll in Medicare and you find out, you know, Plan C or B is much, much cheaper on a premium basis. Maybe doesn't cover everything, but it's much cheaper. You go with that plan because it's a lower cost. If you go to switch later on, if your medical conditions have changed, the insurance company can ask about your health and they have the right to reject you. So if you have, for example, a heart condition, blood pressure, you've had cancer or any kind of disease or operation or impairment, really spend the time and choose your Medigap insurance carefully. Because if you become dissatisfied, you want greater coverage, you could get rejected. I had a client who wanted to switch to a greater plan to get more coverage, but they couldn't because they had heart disease. The individual had a heart attack, so they were unable to switch to the Plan F. They had a plan that was less expensive but didn't cover as much. And obviously, as a result of heart disease, the medications, the procedures, and things like that, they wanted a more complete plan, and they were rejected. So people get sick as we age, and that many times will prevent you from switching. It's also important, if I can add this, especially if you have, for example, health risks that run in the family, or, for example, you plan on moving. Some states may not offer the same plans or on the same caliber in the state that you're in. So choosing a Medigap plan isn't easy, as there are 10 plans to choose from. The plans have letters that range from A to N, with its own mixture of deductibles, co-payments, extra costs, things like, for example, cover medical expenses if something happens to you overseas when you're traveling. So then you have to throw in state regulations that could alter these plans, because not every state allows the full panoply of plans, and each state sets its own prices.
Well, Jim, you mentioned a number of plans that range from Plan A to Plan N. You mentioned that not all states even have all the plans. So let's go over some of the basic differences between those plans.
Well, I mean, if we start with Medigap Plan F, that's the one that everybody has. Probably 60% of people in Medicare have this plan. The premiums can be anywhere from $21 to $74 a month, depending on the state you're in. And it covers Part A deductible, covers Part B deductible, covers Part B excess charges. Skilled nursing facility covers foreign travel emergency. For example, Plan K. Now, that covers Part A deductible, skilled nursing facility, but does not cover Part B deductible, Part B excessive charges, or foreign travel emergency. And obviously, the premiums are much lower. Then we have things like Plan A. Basically, it's probably one of the cheaper plans. It doesn't cost very much, but it doesn't cover very much. So it depends on what you need. Plan N will cover Part A deductible, skilled nursing, and foreign travel. And I want to get to, let me go, I'm reading this off the Medicare site. By the way, you can go to socialsecurity.gov. That's socialsecurity.gov. Type in the search bar, type in Medigap plans, and you'll see the things I'm talking about here. Now, let's talk about the plan that's probably going to replace Plan F, which is Medigap Plan G. It covers skilled nursing facilities, covers Part A deductible, does not cover Part B deductible, which is going up next year from $185 to $197, and it covers foreign travel emergency. So if you want to look at these different plans, and remember, if you're looking at F, you're not going to be able to get that next year, go to socialsecurity.gov and in the search bar up at the top, type in Medigap plans and you can find out what the ranges are. This is, folks, I can't tell you how important this is going to be because you may be in good health now, but if you have a history of certain illnesses that run in your family, dementia, heart disease, or cancer, or you have a current ailment, you're really going to want to take your time working with your advisor to make sure you choose the right insurance, because once you choose it, you may be stuck with that the rest of your life. So that's why it bears taking some time and knowing what your options are, just like it does knowing what your Social Security options are.
Well, it sounds like with all of these differences, Jim, and even the fact that once you choose a plan, you might not be able to switch it because of health reasons, that really someone going into this, the preparation really should be extensive, that there should be quite a bit of study going into it. Would that be safe to say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for example, Social Security routinely reports on this. One of the biggest mistakes made by individuals when it comes to Social Security is they take it early at age 62 and they forfeit 25% of their benefit versus taking it at full retirement age today, which is age 66 or 67. Also, a lot of individuals take it even at full retirement age versus waiting to age 70 when their benefits will be 32% larger. Same thing that happens, we see less mistakes made when it comes to choosing insurance because like anybody else, people want as much of their medical expenses covered, which is why the Plan F has been so popular. And it'll be, I suspect, the next plan that will replace it, Plan G, will become the most popular. So you should be working with a knowledgeable advisor to help you choose the right plan. And one you will be able to afford as Medigap insurance is going up as the government covers less and less of medical expenses and the cost of Medicare continues to rise. Especially for you folks that are in the upper income category, you could pay 4 to 5 times the price of regular Medicare premiums. And watch out if you have a year where you have huge capital gains, it could push you in that higher bracket. So just remember, there are 6 tiers of premiums for Medicare that range currently this year at $135.50 a month. That's on the low end, and that can rise to all the way to $460.50 on the high end. And then also next year, the low end will go to $144.30. The high end is going to over $480 a month. The one thing I think that we can find all experts agreeing on, Chris, is that they expect major price increases for premium plans like F and G. Right now, G is more of a bargain for the premium cost savings versus, let's say, Plan F, with the only major difference is Plan G doesn't cover the Part B deductible. But as it becomes the replacement for Plan F, insurers may begin to raise prices as it becomes the most popular plan and as the government covers less and less of healthcare costs.
So given all of that, Jim, what would you advise listeners to do when they're deciding on a plan?
You know, if you can afford it, we've always recommended Plan F because, once again, remember, once you get in that plan, your health changes, you may not be able to get another policy for greater coverage. So like anything else, you know, we like to recommend Plan G or F because, you know, once again, your health changes and it most assuredly will as you get older. If you have a lesser paying plan, one that doesn't cover as much, you may not be able to switch to a higher plan. Like the one client I just mentioned who developed heart disease, had a heart attack, had stents putting in, they cannot trade up to a higher paying plan because they, you know, obviously if you have a heart attack and stents and you're on all kinds of medications, you can imagine what the insurance company is going to say. They have the right to refuse coverage. So that client is stuck with that plan.
So, Jim, if you were to choose a Medigap policy, what's the first thing you would do? How would you begin?
You know what we like to do is we suggest you start with the best plan out there. Up until 2020, that plan has been Plan F. That's no longer going to be available. I would start with Plan G. And that way, and now remember, that plan does not include drug coverage. That's part of Medicare Part D. Then what happens is you've got a price that you can begin comparison shopping. So Plan G is going to cost X amount of dollars, and what the other plans will cover, you can compare that. Then what you do is you take a look at the criteria of each plan. For example, if the beneficiary wants to consider less expensive options than a comprehensive policy, they should list probably two or three criteria that are most important to them. Accordingly, for example, one study shows the primary criterion that individuals use is that a plan should have low premiums. Well, that may be a criteria if you're looking at expenses, but you also have to take a look at your own health, health history in your family, because down the road, the least expensive policy may no longer fit you, and you could end up paying large amounts of cash out of pocket to cover stuff that both policy and Medicare don't cover. That, I think, is a mistake. Now, some of the criteria that you may want to look at, the ability to continue seeing their current physician, that's important. Flexibility, for example, in choosing providers, especially if you need a specialist without going through a gatekeeper. And Medicare has gatekeepers depending on what kind of plan you have. And you don't want to go through a gatekeeper because, you know, the gatekeeper can decide, no, I don't think you need a specialist. We can treat you with this drug or this procedure. And you're saying, wait a minute, a specialist might give me a different opinion or a different solution to your medical ailment. Total cost, and that's premiums and deductibles. And also, this is key, protection from large losses and benefits for services such as, for example, if you're one of those individuals that has dental issues, vision care, you might want to look at Medicare Advantage or some of the other plans that will cover those kind of issues. This is really something that you should familiarize yourself with. Like I say, you can go to socialsecurity.gov. You can look at the different plans, and you should be working with your knowledgeable advisor that is up to date on these plans. For example, knowing that you can no longer pick Plan F for 2020 and what Plan G would do for you versus the other plans that are offered by insurance companies.
Well, and you just said it a moment ago. This is something you can't approach with a nonchalant mindset like anything else when it comes to finances. It seems like things are constantly changing. So whether it's the markets, tax laws, government entitlements, one thing we do know, though, is that the cost of medical care is a major expense that needs to be dealt with during retirement, and it needs to be carefully planned for. So as we point out each year, the out-of-pocket costs for medical for a single or retired couple, it just keeps rising every year. In fact, it's around 5-6% every year. So you do need to have a plan that deals with these costs. And Jim, If listeners want to contact you to help them plan their retirement or deal with Social Security or Medicare decisions, how can they do so?
Well, they can call Financial Sense Advisors. We'd be glad to sit down and help you prepare a plan that deals with Medicare and Social Security and other issues that will help you live a better life. So give us a call. It's 888-486-3939. That's 888-486-3939. And we'll be glad to work with you. You know, once again, I want to emphasize this. Do yourself a favor. Really get to know what your Social Security options are and what your Medicare options are and your Medigap insurance. Believe me, taking the time up front can save you tens of thousands of dollars or even more income throughout your retirement years.
And coming up on tomorrow's edition of Lifetime Planning, we have the legendary Mitzi Perdue. And Jim, we've had her on this show a couple of times previously. I have to say that for this interview, this may be our most compelling interview with her yet. She's working on something right now where she has over $30 million worth of donations toward a celebrity auction to combat human trafficking. The anecdotes about those items, the anecdotes about human trafficking, all of it is just really compelling. Tomorrow's episode of Lifetime Planning is one that you do not want to miss.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to wish you a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.